This is Ernest Hancock reporting down on Washington and 3rd Street. What we have is obviously a large crowd there, all over coming from different directions. It looks like I picked the right corner. Now my police escort, Al Ramirez, is on his way here to meet me. He's waiting on another intersection, and I pulled the fast one on him and couldn't find it, so I'm here at right in the middle of it. So he'll be here in just a little bit. Now, what I have coming towards me is a Reform Now, pull the plug on stupidity, reform healthcare now, everything's now. Now we have some organizing for America. It's a lot of Obama support. We have probably, I'd say the crowd is probably about 40% minority. And as they're marching through, they're going right past me now here. It's a charity plus church can't do it. In the richest nation, my Jesus wants health care for all. What about your Jesus? My Jesus wants to take all your money and redistribute it. Standing together for health care insurance reform. Health care insurance reform. 09, we ain't it. Health care for all. Health care, not wealth care. We want a public option. I'm not even sure what that means. Save the middle class. Yes, we can. Reform health care. Health care now. Hang tough on health care reform. Thank you, Mr. President. Land of the fee, F-E-E. Which is more important, money or saving a human life? Against national health care, then give up your Medicare card. GOP solution, health scare. And we have health care can't wait. Support healthcare reform. Oh, we got President Obama in a large mache hat, uniform. Yeah, shake my hand right there. And we have, and he's in a suit, man. He's got to be hot. We can't wait. Stand together for healthcare insurance reform. Healthcare, BarackObama.com. Get the real facts. WhiteHouse.gov. Reality check. Oh, that'd be an interesting page. Yes, for the public option. Public option. But tell me, what is public option?
I don't know, but this guy over here just told me that it was in the Constitution that we do have the right to health care. Not quite sure I've seen that in there, but maybe it was added this week.
I'm just wondering what, you know, they keep talking about the public option. I mean, the option to what? That I pay for their health care, I guess.
Or just an option versus being told exactly what to do. Which is right now you're...
You get a gun to your head and they take your money. They're going to tell you exactly what to do. I guarantee it.
Is it okay?
The private healthcare has already done that to you. Well, so with me personally, as opposed to giving you anecdotes from other people, I use a personal one. I needed a liver biopsy. It was standard. The doctor okayed it. The hospital said we can do it within 2 weeks. The health insurance company made me wait 2 months. And then I had to constantly hound them to get it. So had I just died or given up, they would have saved some money and they would have said, oh, we would have done it. You just would have had to ask. Why do I have to ask if I've already paid for it in my premiums?
I believe that other people should pay for your health care.
But you're paying taxes for a lot of things. In the end, from a strictly financial point, would you, pulling numbers out of the air, would you rather pay what's called $2 arbitrarily, 2-to-1 in premiums to what you're paying in tax? At the end of the day, aren't you still paying less and getting more?
Do you think that it's important for people to be responsible for their own health?
Yes, but those that can't should be helped. Again, in a supposedly Christian nation, I don't recall the Bible telling us what Jesus charged the blind man for his for making him see.
Yeah, but he didn't take the money from somebody else to do it.
No, but he was fed by an awful lot of people, and all he did is basically tell them to love each other.
Right, voluntarily. You can understand on the other side, a lot of people, their concern is the use of government coercion and force, which is a gun to your head, saying you are going to contribute for someone else's fill in the blank.
But you can spread that across all importance of life today.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the point.
Exactly. What's called Medicare has been the Republican Party's tried to take Medicare away for years. Now they're saying Medicare is great, but don't let the government touch your health care. Take one position or the other.
When you say things like, "Well, we're doing it over here, we should be doing it here," and I'm going, "Well, you don't even ask the question whether we should be doing it over there."
not, but again, not even that. As far as that goes, hold on. I just had a, once you stuck the mic in, I just went blank for a second. Give me. But again, discussion ends up being a good thing. What I'm liking is the fact that, again, we're talking here versus somebody else immediately saying that somebody's stupid, that you're trying to take something. If the people that are saying, I don't want government health care, but don't touch my Medicare, actually stopped and realized what they were saying, and they didn't want government health care, well, fine. If you can actually go agree and do it by your actions, agree with what you're saying.
No,
I have every right. I give you every freedom. Again, people don't think about it. I happen to be a Gulf Storm veteran. I was a Republican for most of my life until the last administration, and then I became an independent because I'm not really a fan of either party. But it comes down to it because there's just an awful lot of hypocrisy, and of course it's on both sides. So I'm not going to just finger one side, but at the moment the issue is like telling people that there's the doctor's going to tell them how to die. It's patently untrue.
Let me give you some of the rhetoric from, you know, the libertarian conservative side, because you can't even say conservative anymore because they're so
haven't been conservative in my lifetime.
I don't even know what they are. They're inconsistent, that's for sure.
There are five proposals between the House and the Senate. So you can pick and you can cherry pick out of each one and make it look like your one killer bill.
Hey, Ernie.
Points out the one and then say, look, I've fact checked this and I've got this is the line and this is the paragraph. Well, from what bill? And who proposed it? A number of the things, especially the death panel supposedly, was actually proposed by a Republican. That seems to also the fact that the government for 20.
You know what? This really isn't about politics, is it?
It shouldn't be about politics. A lot of things shouldn't be about politics.
But you made it. About
but let's go. You didn't know.
No. You know who I am. Dude, so relax.
No, the people that have made it about politics. It's an old divide and conquer scheme. As long as no one's paying attention and you can cause enough talk, there aren't too many people that actually point and say that guy started it or that guy started it or the Republican Party started it. It's a combination of a bunch of people. And as long as everybody's fighting each other, pointing fingers, America stands still.
Why is it the government's responsibility to provide health care? Why is it the government that needs to control everything in our lives? Why does it make it so much better when they have proven that they cannot run anything, including Medicare, Medicaid, the post office?
Well, as far as that goes, Medicaid was running a lot better until, so again, not being political, but there were a bunch of Republicans.
Let me
go ahead and help here. There is a base fundamental understanding of what the proper role of government should be, or even can be. I mean, you know, if socialism worked, we'd been a socialist world a long time ago. We're trying.
But there's no true socialist country in the world, as there's no communist and there's no true.
Okay, why though?
Because true socialism, a pure socialism, unfortunately, gets in the way of people's egos, and therefore, as a human condition, it can't happen.
The argument that you get from the other side is that capitalism has never been allowed to really flourish. What happens when you do get in positions of power, you influence government to protect your monopoly, to increase your monopoly, to crush the competition, to make sure somebody doesn't have that. You use the force of government to benefit your industry or even your specific business in that industry. So as we have when you're looking at healthcare, when I can trade eggs and chickens for my tonsillectomy, then I'll consider it free market capitalism.
Well, in that respect, you're true. But unfortunately, you go throughout the world, and there's a reason nobody's ever, in a lot of these different political ideological systems, nobody's ever allowed it. No country.
Why?
Because the same reason they don't work, because somebody always wants the power, and it gets in the way. And it doesn't matter.
Do you think that in the system that we have now, because they're going to create another healthcare bucket of money. Guaranteed, in the end, there's going to be a new creation of a bucket of money. And that money is going to be an enormous pile of money. Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, income tax, IRAs, direction, social and economic engineer, your 407, whatever. I mean, all these retirement funds and pensions and everything are be sitting there along with the healthcare bucket, and somebody's going to want that money, and somebody's going to use government to direct it, get it, waste it, and the people that are doing that don't give a rip about your health care.
Exactly. Well, first of all, you're hitting on an entirely, you're hitting on closer to the fundamental point that goes beyond any of this. Again,
that's my point. We keep missing the fundamental points. That's why we keep getting screwed.
But again, ideally, the system of government where you can trust everybody wouldn't have.
So we trust government?
No, but why would you trust business? In essence, government is...
I don't. That's why I only want a government that protects my individual rights and not give them special monopoly.
But it was ever since, what was it, 1886, Santa Clara versus Union Pacific Railroad, when the court reporter who happened to have been an ex-official of the railroad company mislabeled the intent of the court's finding in saying that corporations were protected persons under the 14th Amendment and gave them the same rights, everything went down.
Sounds like a coalition between big government and big business to me.
Well, I personally...
So let's create a big, giant, more government and business healthcare industry.
Well, unfortunately, you've got it. And even Eisenhower tried to warn against big business, and particularly the military-industrial complex, and gave a phenomenal speech that is way too long for most people with wanting sound bites to listen to. But he actually, the commanding general of the forces of World War II, specifically warned against too big of a military buildup for no other reason than it just creating enemies just to enrich other people.
And the healthcare industry, do you see healthcare industrial complex kind of thing built, especially with the forced vaccinations that they want to do, the mandated shots that you have of children that are 5 minutes old? You can see where the same kind of mentality of we're gonna pillage, rape, and make all kinds of money is being used for the healthcare issue, just like it is for war. It's being waged like a war. I mean, this is like an anti-war protest, but for it's like pro-war on the wallet of the American people.
It's not on the wallet of the American people.
Well, who's it on?
Well, the wallet of the American people, first of all, has already been plundered and pillaged, and it's constantly being done so.
Do it some more?
Well, it's not a matter of doing it. It's a matter of actually slowly bringing it down. And if you're going to sit there and say, since none of this is perfect, and no matter the best minds, and or you and me, not counting either of us as those minds, aren't going to figure out how to take care of this overnight, it's going to take incremental steps down. They've been trying to figure out how to incrementally drop this since the 40s. And everybody that says, let's stand back and not rush this, 40 years later, I'm 41, I wouldn't think I was rushing. So it's not a matter of rushing to judgment. It's a matter it's taken way too long and way too many people. And unfortunately, historically, it's both sides. It's a bipartisan issue. Everybody has gotten screwed over. Again, prior to the 60s, the Democrats were against equal rights. Again, they were technically out of the Republicans, who nowadays are pegged as one way, were on the complete opposite side of the fence. But there always seems to be a shift. Abraham Lincoln would not be allowed in the Republican Party at all these days. He would never get to run because a lot of things he did would have just spent money and
wage war, no habeas corpus. Draft unwilling subjects into the Union Army, stuff like that. Right. Arresting newspaper owners.
And a few of the other things which go unmentioned. And then you get what's called guys like Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt, born to wealth, born to power, was helping out unions. He was chopping down his own kind, the guys that were the robber barons. He was putting things in place to let people that had fewer means than he did, he was helping them out in the world. Actually, I think he was one of the guys to say, leave this one country alone, which let them handle their own thing, which gave us good standing. Turned out later on, the country became Iran, and now whenever we say, well, jump into their politics, let's screw with them.
And there's always social and economic engineering going on, which is my point. You know, advocating for more of it is just like, it's like, haven't you been paying attention?
Amen, brother.
But at what point does leaving a broken, if your sink is broken, and you just leave it alone and just go use another sink?
Oh, no, no, no. I'm not advocating leaving it alone. I'm advocating changing it. I'm advocating changing it and eliminating the monopoly.
What happened in the 70s? In the 70s, for the most part, you could see a general practitioner. No one got before HMOs. You could pretty much go and pay out of pocket, and it didn't bankrupt you. People would actually you got more, in essence, more comprehensive health care with fewer specialists and more people just looking after your general well-being. It didn't cost as much, and you could see people saw anybody they want. And I'm sure while there were people that couldn't afford it, you had more people covered adequately. Fewer people were going bankrupt for it, for the misdeed of becoming sick.
This is what I see. I want to get your comment on this. As a libertarian, okay, you can see that.
I'm independent.
Yeah, the party doesn't have anything to do with it.
Right,
it's a philosophical thing. My whole position is that we have government created for one purpose, in our opinion. If you're going to have this kind of seed some power to somebody, what do I want them to do? I want them to protect my rights against force or fraud from someone else. Someone's going to come up and put a gun to my head and take my crap and go do whatever with. I go, no. Now, I can contract with someone. I'll say, you know what? I'll give you and we'll call you sheriff and you can keep the peace. And then when I don't like you anymore, I'll hire the next guy.
Right.
Or you're fired or give me my money back or something. Government is never about you can't fire them. They're like, oh, no. Not only can you not fire me, I'm going to do what I want with it. And then we'll come around with signs and principles. There's going to be someone that's going to say, how about you stop taking my money? I'll take care of my stuff. You take care of yours. Then you'll have people go, no, you're not allowed to do that. You're going to do what we want the masses say that we're going to do with your money. There comes a point at some time to where people really insist on leave me alone. And so I'm wondering what you think is going to happen. I mean, like this, you have people, here that are very adamant about, I want to do whatever the program they want, and others, I don't want you to do that. But from the libertarian standpoint, we look at both and say, well, like you're saying, the hypocrisy of advocating for Medicaid, Medicare, and whatever they got, and Social Security, and you go, well, what's the difference? You're right, there isn't one. That's kind of the point. Mm-hmm. So what do you say to those that would advocate that the proper role of government is not to steal from me?
Well, the proper role of government isn't to steal from you, and the government on both sides of the aisle have been stealing for years.
Check.
I'm not on either side of the aisle, man.
And that's why I'm saying both sides, so as to make this more ideological and not political. But
define the difference. Now, that's a very distinct difference you're talking. There's ideological and political, as if they were different in some way. Political is what, force of an ideology? I mean, how do you define political?
Political seems to be that much more easily corrupted. Political seems, again, you can make something in the same way that having been in the military, certain people gotten to their positions politically. Has nothing to do with some instances, I'm just using the one that I happen to be familiar with, but I know plenty of other people and plenty of other jobs that describe political ascending politically, because you're liked, if the pure ideology were to work, again, I think it's the Ayn Rand thing, great book. I don't see that it actually works in real life. If it is possible.
It always works in real life. It just varies until it gets back to it. In the end, freedom always wins, man. It just gets messy first.
Well, exactly. It's gotten messy for years, and then it always, unfortunately, gets somehow stolen. But a bunch of people get complacent, and they stop looking, and then you get mass media.
Gold licensed everything. And now we're in a situation to where the people are able to be their own media, just like what we're doing here, and you're starting to find out there's 500 channels and nothing on, so they go to YouTube.
Which is true, and which is sometimes good, sometimes bad. The good thing about YouTube is very few people actually In essence, it's the truest form of communication democracy. Well, the interesting thing about it is that, again, both sides talk about the corporate. It's amazing. Both sides they're a part of as if they're opposed to their own paychecks. Yet, while they're all pointing on to the internet, unfortunately, while you've got more access on the internet, it's more diluted because no one knows exactly where to go. It's not like tuning to Brokaw or to Rather or to Cronkite, and okay, everybody gets the same piece, or you have one third chance of separate pieces of information.
Which means there's a lack of monopoly on information. Do the same thing for healthcare, same thing happens. More diversity.
Again, diversity happens to be good. Again, at some point or another, that'll even get reined in, I'm sure. But, again, calling just randomly made up stuff a fact. If more people learn the difference between editorial and news, I think a lot of things would be not necessarily cleared up, but people will look at things a little more critically.
And what they're doing is they're using a counter argument to someone else's argument that is an argument for less freedom anyway. Well, ours is better tyranny. So you can see from our perspective, we're like going, seriously? This is the best you guys got? Can we not? I mean, can we even advocate not? You know, can we have that discussion? That discussion is not. Well, I'm glad you took the time to have that discussion with me. What was your name?
Keith Pitts.
Steve Pitts?
No, Keith Pitts.
Keith Pitts.
Yes.
Thanks, Keith. It was good meeting you, man.
Very nice meeting you.